George Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate His death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Again, we thank God for the privilege of you. We, to our minister of music,
bless you, Pastor.
To Reverend Smith in his absence, to all who are present, I always say God is good.
He's all good.
And His mercy endures forever. Turn with me in your Bibles to the second book of the Old Testament, Exodus.
Yes.
Chapter number 14.
Yes.
And we're going to read a few verses, beginning at verse number 10. Exodus, chapter 14. Mm-hmm. And it reads. Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
Everybody feel looking? Verse 10 says, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come now asking that you would just grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit. And in that anointing, grant us preaching power, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen.
Amen.
On last week, we talked about God still answers prayer. But it's just that sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. But many times he says yes. Meaning God answers every prayer that is prayed. But the key, we told you, that we must be persistent in prayer. Because many times he may not be saying no. He could be just telling you to wait. But remember that his answer is always yes to a repentant sinner who calls on the Lord by faith to save their souls. I also told you that many times God has a last minute way of answering our prayer. Now, this is illustrated this morning in our immediate text as we talk from the subject, God will turn things around. And so let me begin by saying that the story of God's people being trapped at the Red Sea with seemingly no way out is actually a picture of life. Thank you. It's because many times in life when you have experienced a deliverance or a breakthrough and you begin to think that everything is all right, all of a sudden out of nowhere you find yourself facing an even greater crisis that makes you feel trapped with no way out. But sometimes instead of trusting the same God who delivered you the first time, you allow fear to cancel out your faith. Like the Israelites who have been delivered by God's powerful, yes, Lord, hand from Egyptian slavery, without them even raising a hand, well, maybe perhaps they have begun to feel that all was well with them. But then all of a sudden they look back and they see the Egyptian army closing in fast, and they allow fear to replace their faith, causing them to forget God's mighty delivering power. Now, surely God wouldn't deliver them out of Egyptian slavery just to allow them to be slaughtered out in the wilderness. But you know, my brothers and sisters, it's the same way with us sometimes, because many times we forget who it was that brought us to where we are today. And we need to understand that the Lord hadn't brought us to where we are today in life just to leave us in failure and defeat. For the Lord said in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But you know, having said that, let remind us that in life, trouble and adversity will be our constant companion, which may come in many forms. It may come in the form of sickness, loss of loved ones, disappointments, of failures, and the like. But the good news of the text reveals that no matter how bad things may be, if you maintain your trust in the Lord, he will turn things around. Although I must admit that at times life can be cruel, because many times hope that have risen to great heights will begin to sink into the depths of disappointment and despair. Because every day and everywhere, thousands and thousands of folk are facing disease, accidents, death, loss of loved ones, broken relationships, lost jobs, as well as financial problems and the like. And my brothers and sisters, the thing about it is that as Christians, as God's children, we are not exempt from the pitfalls and crises of life. And so many times the cry from the human heart in troubled times is, where is God when you really need him? And perhaps this was the feeling of the Israelites at the Red Sea as they look back and see hundreds of Egyptian chariots bearing down on them. And no doubt this caused them to feel helpless and trapped with mountains of wilderness on either side and the Red Sea blocking their way. And you know, that's the way life is sometimes when you're in a crisis. You find yourself unable to go back, unable to go to the left or the right, or even to move forward. And so you feel trapped with no way out of your problem. So the text reveals that in spite of the fact that the Israelites and Moses had just experienced freedom by the mighty hand of God, now they find themselves trapped like hunted animals, and fear began to grip their hearts. And I can imagine that perhaps mothers were clutching their children and trying to make their final memories of freedom at least as painful as possible. Perhaps others contemplated throwing themselves in the sea and allowing the water to become their final resting place. while still others were determined to go down fighting. But note, if you will, that the real problem wasn't Pharaoh, nor was it his army, or the Red Sea. But my brothers and sisters, the real problem was their hearts, because they allowed fear to replace their faith, causing them to forget who it was that had delivered them out of Egypt in the first place. And so because of fear, they began to lose all hope. My brothers and sisters, the point I'm trying to make is that fear and doubt is a faith killer. But when you focus on God's faithfulness in the past, you'll be able to face any crisis with confidence in God's living power in the present by realizing that trouble don't last always, because God will turn things around. But lest I hold you too long, permit me with your prayers to lift about three things from the text, and I'll let you alone. Well, the first thing I see in the text is that fear, faithlessness, and blaming others go hand in hand. Because note the text reveals in verse 10 and 11 that when the people of Israel saw the world's most powerful army coming over the horizon behind them, being stricken with fear, some cried for help, while others cried out against God's servant Moses, accusing him of bringing them into the wilderness to be slaughtered by the Egyptians. But here we see what happens when we allow fear to replace our faith. It will bring about a sense of hopelessness as well as helplessness. It will cause one to forget who it was that has brought them thus far. Because when trouble and adversity arises, how soon do we forget? Just think for a moment now. God had already demonstrated his mighty power in chapter 7 through 12 when he launched 10 plagues of judgment against the Egyptians. He didn't free the Israelites by his mighty power. And with their own eyes, they witnessed firsthand the mighty power of God. But not only did he deliver them, Brother John, but we read in Exodus 13 and 31 that he also led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now this pillar of cloud and fire were examples of a theophany, meaning God appearing in physical form. Because in this form, God was a light to Israel's path. He protected them from the enemy, provided reassurance, controlled their movement, as well as inspired the burning zeal that Israel should have had for the Lord. And therefore, this moment in the life of the Israelites called for faith and not fear. In other words, it calls for strong faith in the fact that whatever God promises, he will bring it to pass. My brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we can trust God and stand on his promises. But now fear, faithlessness, and complaining and blaming others for our troubles and trials will only cause us to doubt the mighty delivering and sustaining power of God. Now the second thing I want to lift from the text is what God expects from us when trouble and adversity comes in our lives. The text shows that we must not be afraid and stand still. In other words, we are to maintain our faith and stand still by waiting on the Lord. But I know, if you will, according to verse 12, the people were hostile as well as despairing. Now, this is the first instance of Israel's grumbling and complaining, which would become a major problem of God's people as they journeyed on their way to the promised land. But ever again, I say, how often do we find ourselves doing the same things because of our inconveniences and discomforts? But in verse 13, we see three challenges to the Israelites issued by God through Moses. He said, the first two, he said, fear not and stand still. Yes, now the thought here is, whenever a severe our problem confronts us and there seems to be no solution, our natural tendency out of fear is to try and run away from our problem. But that's not God's way, because God's way is always fear not, stand still, and trust the Lord to see it through. Though I must admit that this is one of the most difficult things to do many times when facing severe and difficult trials. But God's challenge to us this morning is still to fear not and stand still. And so the first two challenges God issues to Moses through the Israelites was to fear not and stand still. But now the third challenge to them was watch. Yes, watch what? Watch ourselves be destroyed by the Egyptian army? No, but watch the mighty delivering power of the Lord. Note the text says, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation, or see the deliverance of the Lord. In other words, watch God's mighty delivering power. For the Egyptian whom you see today, you shall see again forever no more. In essence, Moses is saying, I know it looked bad, and the Egyptians seem to have the upper hand, but don't be afraid. Stand still and watch God's delivering power. My brothers and sisters, perhaps I need to tell someone here this morning, or maybe someone who will be listening by way of radio, that no matter what you're facing or going through in life, if you continue to trust in the Lord, God will turn things around. And while you're waiting for him to turn things around, he'll give you grace and strength to endure. The Bible says that when the Lord told Apostle Paul one time, who was suffering from some sort of affliction in his body, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, now the final thing we see in the text is God's challenge to Moses, his servant. And that was to stop crying out to me and go forward. Now, Moses in verse 13 had just issued three stirring challenges to the people of God. In the face of seemingly impossible odds, he told them to fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. But here in verse 15, we see that it's obvious that Moses, too, had become gripped by a terrifying sense of hopelessness and helplessness. Because the text says in verse 15 that the Lord said to Moses, get up off your knees, step out on faith, and go forward. Now this says to us this morning that prayer must have a vital place in our lives, but there's also a place for action. Now, for instance, somebody is praying to the Lord to give them a job, but you never get out of bed and go out and fill the application. My brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter no matter how much you pray. If you never get up out of your bed and go out and fill some applications, you will never find employment. But when you pray, Lord, you ought to step out on faith and trust God to give you favor in the eyes of some employer. And so sometimes we know what to do, but we pray for more guidance as an excuse to postpone what God has directed us to do. So the thought here is, when facing any problem or difficult situation, there is a time for praying and analyzing the problem and planning on what to do. But there is also a time to get up off your knees, step out on faith, and move on with your life. But now this can only be done when we lean and depend on the Lord by letting go and letting God Lord take care of our problem. And that's what the writer of Proverbs was talking about in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. When he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And he said, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Because God will turn things around. And so the text revealed in verse 16 that God told Moses to stretch out his rod over the waters, and the waters would divide, and the children of Israel would be able to go across on dry land. But note, if you will, that it wasn't Moses' rod that caused the waters to divide, but it was Moses' obedient faith and the power of the Lord that called those waters to divide. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so the text revealed in verse 21 and 22, because of Moses' obedient faith, the Lord called the sea to go back by a strong east wind that blew all night long, and he made the sea bed dry and the waters to divide. But as the children of Israel began to cross over on dry land in the midst of the sea, they looked back and see the Egyptian army in hot pursuit. But remember God's challenge to the people in verse 13. It was to fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. The Egyptian whom you see today, you will see again no more. Because God will turn things around. And so verse 27 revealed that God called the waters to return to their depths and covered all the chariots and the horsemen and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea. And not so much as one of them survived. Then verse 30 says, and the Israelites saw the dead bodies of the Egyptians on the seashore. Well, now, this is a word to somebody this morning. Yes, who like the children of Israel, you may feel trapped with no way out because you're down in the valley of despair with the hellhounds of trouble and adversity closing in fast in the rear. So you can't go backwards. You got mountains of opposition on either side. You can't go to the left or the right. And you got the Red Sea of impossibility seemingly blocking your way. But the word still is, fear not and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because I tell you, God will, he will turn things around. But before I leave you, I think I need to call up some witnesses. Yes, come here a minute, Job, and tell me, oh, won't God turn things around? Yes, I'm still, I know the Lord will turn things around, because I'll never forget when I lost my children, my wealth, my health, the respect of my wife, and the trust of my friends. I held on and I waited on the Lord, and he stepped in and he turned things around, because he blessed my latter days more than my beginning. And that's why I know that God will turn things around. What about it, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Tell me, won't the Lord turn things around? Yes, I'm still, because we know without a shadow of doubt that God will turn things around. Because when old King Nebuchadnezzar threw us in that fiery furnace. God stepped in and he turned things around by insulating us from the fire so it could do us no harm. And that's why we know that God will turn things around. And so God told Moses to stop crying, step out on faith, and move on in the name of the Lord. In the same way, God is telling somebody this morning to put some action in your prayer by getting up off your knees and moving out on faith. Because God will, I tell you, he'll turn things around. I hear Isaiah saying, he says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I'll call you by your name, and you are mine. And when you pass through the waters of adversity, he said, I am with you. Through the rivers of difficulties, they will not overflow you. And when you pass through the fiery trials of life, that you will not be scorched by the flame, because God will, he will turn things around, and you'll be able to say, like the songwriter say, that problem that I had, I just couldn't seem to solve. I tried and I tried, but I kept getting deeper involved. But I gave it over to the Lord, and he worked it out. Let me close by saying, when Jesus gave his life out on that old rugged cross for the sin of the world, while he laid in the grave for 3 days and three nights, the enemy got happy, and they began to say, we've gotten rid of that old troublemaker. But somewhere between 12 midnight and early Sunday morning, God stepped in and he turned things around, because right early Sunday morning, Jesus got up from that grave, declaring, all power in heaven and earth is in my hands. And after showing himself alive for some 40 days, he caught a cloud and he went back to glory. But in the meantime, trouble may come, sickness may come, tears will fall from our eyes, but we got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Even the youth can faint and be weary, and the young men will utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll just mount up on wings, just like eagles. They'll run and not get weary. They'll walk and not faint. Ain't God all right? I don't know about you, but the Lord has brought me from a mighty long way. Every now and then, when I look back and see you, ah, Lord, where you brought me from, I'm a witness today to tell you that God will, he'll turn things around, he'll lift up your head, he'll mend a broken heart. Trouble may rise, but I'm so glad that trouble don't last always. Ain't God all right? Yeah. God will turn things around. When you call on the Lord, when you call on him in prayer, you got to many times just wait on him. And I guarantee you, he'll give you the strength to endure whatever you're going through. I remember when my wife, my throat won't let me. My wife and I were going to, I was doing a revival up in the Colfax, and it was raining, it was dark. The middle of the day, it looked like night. And as we were going up 49, I told her maybe I ought to stop. And she said, I don't think they're going to have a revival, all this weather. And she said, well, why don't we just keep going? And I just kept going. Cars were pulling off on the side. And after a while, As I kept on going, it started getting a little lighter. It started getting a little brighter. And all of a sudden, we drove out of that dark cloud into the sunlight. And it was like looking back, coming out of car wash. And when we got down to the chase was packed. It just lets you know sometimes you just got, it may be dark and you can't see your way, but you got to let your faith kick in and just keep on going forward. You might not can see your way. But yes, Lord. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Everything you can see with your eyes, it doesn't take too much faith. God bless you.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday.